Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA. I'm delighted to welcome Elizabeth Crabble, who is the Chief Executive Officer of CIE Tours International, in charge of and responsible for CIE America. You're very welcome, Elizabeth.
Thank you. Very happy to be here.
You've walked into a job and a position which was managed with great efficiency by a very well-known Dubliner who headed CIE Tours International here for decades in the person of Brian Stack. What was your initial reaction to the job, to coming into CIE?
Well, I have to say, coming into CIE Tours is probably one of the nicest opportunities that anybody could have coming into a position like this. Brian Stack was at the helm of CIE Tours for almost 30 years, so quite some time. And during that tenure, the company grew from being a very small organization that was dedicated to serving the Irish American community in the United States to take people back to Ireland. And the market and the company grew quite a lot under Brian's tenure. So the company kind of grew from a small organization to a medium-sized organization. And, you know, lo and behold, 30 years pass, and we have an amazing brand. And Brian, when he retired, he actually handed over one of the best-known brands in Ireland travel. And, in fact, we're, as a company, we're really lucky to have 85 years of consistent ownership and clearly very consistent leadership over the past as well. And the product is one of the best products in the industry, in the tour industry. And Ireland as a destination has been growing at the same time as CIE Tours. So for me, coming into this position is one of the greatest opportunities to be able to work with a travel brand. So I'm very pleased with it. And Brian has made a great transition. And it's been almost a year now, but we did a very good handoff.
Is that what happened to that year? Oh, my God.
It's hard to believe. I can't believe it myself.
Yeah.
But we're looking at 1 year in. The company was a very smooth transition. Brian really made every detail taken care of. And we've been moving forward. And I'm happy to say that we've been investing in the company. We are having a great year, so this year we're up quite a lot, and we're starting to already look at next year and sell tours for 2018, and they look very good as well. So the company continues to forge ahead.
We're going to be hearing a lot from you as time goes by on this program. But there are two very special guests in studio today, and I'm going to pretend I've never met them before and let you introduce them.
Well, we're very pleased. Once a year, we do have a visit from our executive board, and we are able to introduce them to how the business is looking here in the United States. And we have here today our chairman of the CIE Tours Board, but also chairman of the CIE Group, Vivian Jupp. And we have Mr. Peter Malone, who is executive board member for the CIE Tours Board as well. And since we have them here once a year, we're very happy to get to hear from them and get to hear a little bit about their support for tour industry in general and for CIE Tours in particular.
Let me welcome Vivian. You're very welcome indeed. And you know, we were talking about the passage of a year. My God, 6 years ago, we welcomed you as chairman of CIE Tours, CIE Group. You came on board at a time when CIE was indeed it was part of the growing pattern. Just back up a little. Did you feel that in the few years' time it would actually, you know, continue to be, you know, without a doubt the best known tour brand? And how was your own, you know, what do you feel about that? Well, first of all, let me welcome you.
Thank you very much again. It's very nice to be back here again talking to you, Adrian.
Let me, though, say that probably one of the greatest successes Ireland has had is since the Celtic Tiger, you know, burst. And since the naysayers said there was no way that Ireland could regain and recoup from the financial downturn, from which was indeed wouldn't be that far-fetched to call it an economic disaster. I think few might have felt that perhaps the greatest, or definitely among the greatest, success stories in terms of getting Ireland back exactly, you know, to where it was, and apparently there's no stopping, would have to do with tourism. It would have to do with the magic of Ireland, and you know, through a very turbulent period of time in world travel, Ireland has done tremendously. Can you just address that?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think you put it very nicely when you said the magic of Ireland. I mean, it is a magical place to visit. As a small country, it has absolutely everything and all within accessible distances. So it means that when you do come to Ireland, you can see the sea, you can see the mountains, you can see the lake, you can experience all the iconic sites of Ireland. And in fact, tourism, you're right, has been the success of the last 5 years or so. I mean, I think there was a big focus on tourism because it is an indigenous industry. It employs a lot of people. And, you know, CIE Tours were able to capitalise on that focus and continue to build on the heritage of CIE Tours to offer new and exciting and different tours to people that have seen our visitor numbers grow and our revenues grow.
Your own background before you took on this position as chairman, it's not like you weren't busy enough. You have been, your career,
well,
your entire
yeah.
career has been, you know, of more of a global, you know, nature than just Ireland, but
yeah, no, I spent most of my career working for Accenture, the global company in consulting and technology and outsourcing. And so I would have travelled a lot. I would have had a global job in that organisation. I would have travelled a huge amount for them. So I do know a bit about what's required to make a tourism experience a real experience and a real different experience for people. And that's been very helpful to me as chairing this very interesting and growing business. And I've enjoyed every minute of it.
Great. What makes CIE and CIE Tours number one? It's not that there isn't any competition out there. There's a load of competition. And obviously when you have a jewel like Ireland, the Jewel of Ireland attracts many, many coach tours in particular. What is it about
CIE Tours?
CIE?
Well, I think the main things about CIE Tours is that we have fantastic tours. We offer a wide variety of tours that cover the whole of Ireland, and nowadays we go into Great Britain as well. We provide impeccable service to all of our visitors. The quality of our tours is exceptional, and you know, I know that because our visitors, we ask our visitors to rate our tours, and they always say they're exceptional. The product of Ireland is also fantastic, and you know, other things which contribute to a good tour, like the quality of our food and our cooking, the quality of the sites that are iconic for our visitors, all of them lead to it being an exceptional experience.
Can you introduce Mr. Peter Malone?
Yeah, well, Mr. Peter Malone is sitting here with us too. Mr. Malone has been on the board of CIE Tours for the last 6 years. He also brings exceedingly good experience to that, having worked in the industry too, yeah. And has been a great contributor to us over the period.
Okay, I will resist the temptation to list, Peter, your 2025 most significant. You weren't that good at holding down a job. Let's face it. You have worked in every possible aspect of tourism, of every corner, from hotels to the technology sector, to everything that having to do with tourism. But can I bring it back, first of all, to your native Dundalk? I know we have spoken many times about Dundalk, a great place. What about growing up in Dundalk? And again, the reality of the border, right on the border to Northern Ireland. What was that experience?
The experience was very interesting. I had loads of girlfriends in Newry, which we used to cycle to from Dundalk. And yeah. It was very interesting. The hill was there.
Yeah.
The motorway wasn't finished, and I'll come back to that in a moment. But Dundalk was very interesting. My father was a well-known pig dealer in County Meath and County Louth. And
yes.
But he died very young. He died at 45. And that, I was only 18 at the time. And that affected all the family. I was the eldest of seven. So my mother was only 41. And it was quite difficult for her. So I always wanted to go to go into the hotel business. And I went to London first, and I trained with Joe Lyons Corner Houses in London.
Yeah.
And then I realized after about 2 years I had to come back to hotel school. So I got into Shannon Hotel School, and I started from there. Then I was with juries for all the rest of my life. But it was interesting, when I was 45, the chief executive's job came up, and our board had a feeling at the time that 10 years was enough for the chief executive of any public company. We were a PLC.
Yes.
So I got a contract for 10 years. And when I was 55, I had to leave the company. And, of course, my mother, who is just since deceased, and my mother-in-law, who's since deceased, said, "What are you going to do?" And I said, "Don't worry, I'll find something." And my wife said to me, "I don't do lunch," she said, "by the way, I don't do lunch, so you've got to get out of here." So I became chairman of lots of companies, but the one that really gives me the most pleasure, really looking back on it, was the road network. I chaired the National Roads Authority, and that gave me the greatest pleasure. But my wife says to me every so often, "I was a lucky man, the money was there, but I brought, like Vivian, I brought a business element to the roads, and we achieved everything on time and on budget." And the road network now is a credit to the country, you know?
Yeah. How is it that when we think of the network of roads, of infrastructure in Ireland, we seem to think that the European Union gave us a gift? They come in, they made it all happen, and thanks ever so much. The funding, and most of the funding came from Europe, but Brussels did not design the infrastructure in Ireland. That was homegrown.
Yeah. One of the interesting things, I was interviewed one day by a fellow colleague of yours, probably in Dundalk, local Dundalk radio.
Yeah.
And I was on for an hour, would you believe it? And he got one phone call in, telling me that he said, this phone call came, and he said, "Somebody's complaining. Why is Notellier the chairman of the Roads Authority?" And will you answer that now, Peter? And I said, "Well, my chief executive is an engineer. There's loads of engineers in the company, but I was appointed by the government to bring a business element to it, and I bring the business element to it." So it was interesting for me to chair a board and to have a chief executive who really made things happen.
Let me ask, if I come back to you, Vivian, about the some, there is a, on our side of the Atlantic, at least anyway, there is some, there are some who say that the infrastructure, the highways, the expressways that can take you from Dublin to Galway in a couple of hours, you can get from Belfast down to Cork in much less time, that all of this, that maybe that's taking away from the image of Ireland, of the say the Great Atlantic Way, which is if you're going to do that and if you're looking for highways, not going to happen. But what? How do you allay the fears of those who say, and how do you say, listen, it has not destroyed, the beauty and the beauty spots of Ireland?
I think it has not destroyed the beauty spots of Ireland. What it's actually done is enhanced our ability to get to all of those beauty spots. And the Wild Atlantic Way is one of the greatest road trips that one could do. I mean, it's 2,500 kilometres right from the very south of Ireland all the way up to the top. Now, one would never do that in one single journey, but it allows us to ramble gently around the coast of Ireland and experience the beautiful scenery, the great food, the great culture, the great welcome, and go into lots of small towns and villages that the Wild Atlantic Way has brought life to and given people a way to make a living and remain in their home all around the countryside. So I think the roads have been very, very good in terms of allowing us to get to the coast of Ireland, which is really beautiful.
I want to come back to you, Peter, on again with your own innovations and on the roadways and the roadworks throughout Ireland. Plus or a minus, in the sense that. And I've led a couple of tours to Ireland when I was an awful lot. We won't go back that far. But one of the aspects of taking a tour in the first place was that the signage, the road signage in Ireland, was not up to snuff. And for those who got lost and wound up in circles, they would say that it was close to disastrous. So how do you get around that? As you get older, the tour, that's the way to go. You don't have to worry about anything. You don't have, so you get on the coach and away you go. Now, you take, say, the ancient East, or you take the Atlantic Way, and the signposts just about everywhere. And you don't really have to go on a tour to find yourself getting around. Was that part of the plan? Can we blame you for some of that?
Oh, you can blame me for some of this, getting some of the answers, because that's where, as a tourism person, chairman of the National Roads Authority, I was able to bring my tourism hat also.
Yeah.
And I insisted a lot of the times with the county councils. Now, sometimes people blame the National Roads Authority. It's very easy, everybody blame Dublin, the National Roads Authority. But every county manager is responsible for his own county. Every county manager. And that's forgotten sometimes.
Except for Mayo. Go ahead.
For Mayo. Well, the ex-Taoiseach was there, so I mean, that was okay. And in fairness, Enda Kenny was a great supporter of tourism. I'll come back to that in a second, if you don't mind. But I think the signposting has improved. You're right. It has improved greatly, because the county managers now are becoming more tourism orientated, because they understand the value of tourism. And the more tourism products like hotels and restaurants, the more they're getting, the more rates they're getting, and the more money they're getting into the coffers.
Right.
You know, so it all adds up. But yes, you have a point, and I was very cross about it. But now you're getting, I think most places are well signposted.
They're well signposted. There's another aspect of, and while I'm hammering on you, I'll stick with it. The road stops, the tours, the coach tours, particularly in rural areas, it's not as if they can, you know, they can pull up just anywhere and have lunch. There are definitely some purpose-built, restaurants and designed for coaches. Has more attention been paid to that? Are you quite happy to have the traditional stops where they do and can cater to coach tours?
Yeah, it is changing. I'm very proud to have been a member of CIE Tours, and when I see a coach anywhere in Ireland, I say to my wife, "Get one of ours, you know, and look at it, and look how clean it is, and look how spotless." But I have noticed now, I have a house in County Clare, and I noticed that the coaches stop in little small villages, and the people maybe go for a coffee or to the toilet or to something, and they go around the small little villages. And I often stop my car and I often go and say to the driver through a courier, I said, "Hello,
sure.
I'm Peter Malone." But I'll tell you a very good one. A couple of years ago, I was in Knock for the day. I like going to Knock every year because Knock is special for my wife and myself. And I saw one of our coaches pull up in Knock. Now, Knock is not on the journey on our tours, but I saw a coach pulling up. And I said to my wife, "Oh, there's one of our coaches," and people were getting off. I said, don't do it now. Do not go and ask him any questions. So I said, "Oh, I'm going over here. Well, don't take me. I'm staying back." So I went over, and six people were standing around in the car park of Knock, and I said, "How are you enjoying your tour? I'm a board member." No, I didn't tell them. I said, "How are you enjoying?" "Great, and our driver stroke courier is superb, and this is a lovely place, Knock." And then I said to them, I was a board member of CIE Tours. I didn't tell them in advance. But the answer to your question is, yes, we're stopping in. The driver stroke courier has the discretion to make it as Irish as we can make it.
I've never said that before because I didn't know whether they were encouraged to do that or whether, in fact.
Well, they do have the tour guides do have an agenda and a schedule that they're going through. But if they do see something nice that or somebody makes a comment, "There's a beautiful site, I'd like to take a photograph," they can stop. And I think that's what makes the experience very personable to all of our guests.
How did the itinerary of CIE Tours grow to where, if you don't find a specific tour or one that satisfies 90% of what you might want to see in Ireland in the first place, chances are you don't need to go there? The variety of tours has to be second to none.
The variety of tours is absolutely the best in the business. We must have over 40 tours, short ones, long ones, ones that combine the Republic of Ireland and Northern Ireland, ones that focus on the East Coast only. So if you want to go to Ireland, you will absolutely find a tour that is appropriate for the length of time you have to spend and for where you want to spend the time.
I agree with that, and there are very few who, if you're talking about going to Ireland or if you're talking about tours, who will say, "Been there, done that," because you haven't been there and you haven't done that, and because the itineraries, they do change and they are very much geared, you know, towards, you know, the returning visitor, which, again, CIE Tours holds the record in returning visitors.
Because we have such a variety of holidays, and also now we're looking at doing different styles of tours as we move into the future.
Yeah.
We'll keep the heritage that we have now, but we are looking at doing different styles of tours because some people are very interested, for example, in the food of Ireland, in the gardens of Ireland, in the culture of Ireland, and this Tourism Ireland are focused on that variety of things as well. So we're working with Tourism Ireland to deliver some of the promises that are being sold around Ireland.
And can I just comment on that? One of the great things about Elizabeth coming in as CEO, she's American. So she's coming in as CEO.
You tell us now?
She's an American, which is great. But she's coming in with a closed mind. And she is visiting parts on her own of Ireland, and she's probably saying to herself, why don't we come here or why don't we go there?
Right.
And she is bringing, and her new team are bringing, a whole new dimension to us to see places that maybe, why don't we go there? And she's asking the questions, and that's where we're getting. And Vivian mentioned one there a moment ago, dining out. That's a new experience for us, a dining out campaign with CIE Tours, that people can come and go to some of the best restaurants around Ireland.
Yeah. And on a CIE tour, there are, whereas everybody loves those who take coach tours in the first place, they love the experience of having everything done, it's there. But there's always room for... a day to yourself. Today you want to do something else and you're on your own and so forth. Let me ask about the trend, though, in coach tours in particular. And don't let me forget that we have to get past the coach tours very shortly before in this interview because you have a lot of other services. But in coach tours, are there people who like to go to a hotel, stay there for 2 days, for 3 days, do the day trips, or is there a different kind of client who said, listen, this is it, I don't mind, it's not a big deal to get up in the morning and have your bag downstairs, it's not like you have to schlep it around yourself. Do you want to take on this?
Well, we have, obviously, when we look at our performance this year, we can see that coach tours are still something that people want to do. The convenience of it, everything is arranged, your bags are delivered for you when you arrive at a hotel, there's always a cup of tea for you to welcome you there, and we don't move every single day. Some of our trips spend some number of days in hotels so that you can experience the area around, when people visit Killarney. It's not just a one night in Killarney for some of our tours. So if you want to do the quick tour all around the country, then you would have a one night. There are those type of tours, but there are also tours that spend a bit of time in each of the locations so that you can get a real feel for what the areas like, what the people are like, what the culture is like in that space.
Yeah. Peter, Peter Malone, I want to ask you about the accommodations. We don't associate a coach tour with, B&Bs, with accommodation, a great variety of accommodation, which might bring us to another aspect of CIE, which is nothing to do actually with coaches or with coach tour, with guides or whatever, in that there are people who are quite happy, to take the challenge to go to Ireland, to get with CIE. Some people actually like to take a short tour, a coach tour, a CIE tour, but they don't want to come back. They want to explore, either before or after this tour, some of the maybe some areas of Ireland. What is the track record on do people tend to go to where their ancestors were? What's the motivation to get into a car before or after your tour? And by the way, CIE does make all the arrangements for that, plus your accommodation.
People very much with an Irish background want to go to see where their ancestors came from, and we help them in that way. But what we're going to do, to answer your overall question, is that people now want to have coach a driver in a minibus, or he wants to have a driver in a car, and we have those kind of tours now for
them. Right.
And what we're doing now is we're trying to start bringing people in the off season, like bringing the season into November, December, mm-hmm. January, February. And now we're starting this year, but it'll start small, and hopefully it will grow. And those kind of people we're hoping to bring for different type of adventure, and tours. Now, it'll be fabulous if Elizabeth was able to get all Ireland tickets every year for the hurling and the football, but I don't think she'll be able to get 42 tickets every year for the football and the hurling. Now, she's able to get the tickets for the big celebrations in Edinburgh every year, you know.
Right.
But she won't get, with her great niceness, that won't happen, because I can't even get two, you know. So
there's a hint here somewhere. But yeah. I tell you what, Elizabeth, you know, if we could ask her for, you know, two apiece, and maybe we could, you know, could have.
But with Mia winning, I definitely want to go, you know.
Hey, listen, absolutely.
If I can just make one final point, Peter was talking about the different types of tours that we offer in addition to the coach. We also have chauffeur-driven tours. You can go it yourself, and we'll give you itineraries. So anybody who wants to drive themselves around the country, we can plan out itineraries for those people. And that part of our business is growing quite exceptionally well. So we expect to maintain the coach tours, but also to grow those other business areas.
We always have a tendency to, and rightly so, to place the emphasis on Ireland, particularly in coach tours. Ireland supplements to a great degree coach travel, you know, to the UK, to Scotland, to Wales, to England. And is that where does the chicken and the egg come in there with respect to CIE tours? Do you get a lot of people who want to, say, go to Britain and add on Ireland, or vice versa, or a combination?
Yes, it varies, but the biggest tours of all are Ireland only. The next biggest is Ireland and Scotland. And then it's Ireland, Scotland, and England, and Wales, of course, because Wales is very important. But maybe Brian has told you, but it's happened for the third time now, and Elizabeth was there. We won the top tourism award in Scotland for three years running for bringing tourists into Scotland. Now, Scottish Tourist Board saying well done to an Irish company, I think that shows you that we are a big player now for their tourism market. We like to go to different parts of Britain, and I think Wales is another lovely country, and then of course the UK. And I've been at Elizabeth, and I think she's going to do it, and Vivian's been saying to her also. There are other places than just London. There are other places than just Manchester. There are other places. There are a lot of interesting places in the UK that we could go to and visit, because people do want to see unusual places. So I think that CIE, watch this space. I think CIE is going to be a very, very dynamic and interesting company in the years going forward, and you're going to hear far more with Elizabeth Zurin as the chief executive of CIE Tours.
I want to ask you, Vivian, about just a brief overview of CIE Tours. It's not just a question in terms of services of getting on a plane and having your luggage taken care of. There are other there are other tremendous features in a CIE tour, is that you don't have to guess about what this is going to cost you, what the add-ons, what the hidden charges are, what the fluctuation of the dollar or the euro, sterling. That is a very big selling point in terms of tours, and we've heard enough, stories of those, and it's obviously not, specific to tours, but there are a lot of, come hither advertising aspects that have to do with
the case. That's one of the things that you do not experience on a CIE tour. There are no hidden charges. Everything that we do, every tour, every meal, are all included in the price. And we offer real variety of experiences.
Yeah.
So, for example, in Dublin, we will take you to a dinner in a nice location where we'll have some Irish music there so that you can experience the Irish music. In other parts of the country, we have added kind of unique aspects to the tour. So, for example, we take you to see sheep. What do they call it? Where they have the sheepdogs, and you can see how these sheepdogs manage the sheep and corral them. And they're all very unique and interesting experiences, which our people
like to
really
have a part-time job in that. Yeah, I grew up with that. But there weren't that many sheep in our part of the country anyway, One good sheepdog would take care of the whole job. But I know what you're saying. But just on basic other things that we take for granted, travel documents, your airport transfers, all of that is, for some people. Might I ask you, Peter, about the image that coach tours are, for those who are have thrown in the sponge, they're retired, they don't want to be bothered. What about the profile of coaches, and what is the coach industry, tourism industry, doing to get a broader speculation in terms of who they are? I mean, how do you get the under 50s to have an interest in that?
Well, that's one of the tasks that we have given to Elizabeth to do, and she's taking it on board with her previous experience. She knows that there's a market there for the under 50s, the under 40s, the under 30s,
right,
to come even to places like La Hinch for surfing. There are people there who want activity holidays, and that's something that we're looking at very seriously to do. And they want everything, as Vivian said,
right,
paid. Everything's paid when you pay it, and then when you go, that's it.
And it's done, and you're not
and
left on your own.
So there's a big market there, and that's where Elizabeth, with her previous experience, is going to bring us that newness. Whereas we still very much depend. We very much depend on our core market, is the people who have just retired or who are going to retire, and who will come on our tours. That's very, very
important. One of the things that we're also doing is we do full generation tours. So parents come on holidays with their children or grandparents, and
absolutely.
And we will put together special tours for a group of people like that. So, and we've run lots of them so far. We'll put on smaller coaches. We will organize the whole thing for them. And so you'll have from grandparents all the way down to children.
Now, the family reunions have become on their own over the last few years. I don't know if you go back as little as 15, maybe 20 years ago, a family reunion meant that, you know, you had Yanks coming home for, you know, a week or something. Because I'm sure, because of the internet and because of, you know, the easy access, you now have, you know, family reunions in Ireland with families coming from widespread parts of the world, many who have never even known about each other, much less know each other on, you know, on a first name basis. Is there a development within the coach tour, and is CIE kind of looking at how you actually come up with a plan for something like that? Because it's a huge number.
I said we're looking at it. It's not a big market for us at this moment in time. But I think you're right. But unfortunately, with people who are coming back on family occasions, they could be coming from Australia, they could be coming from Germany, France, anywhere, Hong Kong, China, anywhere now, because when I got married way back 46 years ago, my mother said to me, "Why are you marrying a girl from Clare? Where is that?" Now I have a daughter married to an Australian. You know, I mean, the world has become so small that people nowadays are all over the world. It's not just America anymore. When I was young, when you were young, when I came to America first in 69, that's what the place you went to, you know, in the 60s and before it even. But now people go everywhere. It's frightening to see where they are. So it's not a big market for us at this moment in time.
Yeah.
But there is something there that
it might be heading in that direction.
Yeah.
But also what CIE can do, and if you want to get a very reliable source, is again, say for a family, for family reunions, many of them coming to Ireland for the first time, that notion which, you know, you underlined before, Peter, about getting a chauffeured minibus, a chauffeured car, so that, you know, when the family says, you know, Slána Bhaile, or, you know, great seeing you, we'll have to do this again in 5 years, that there are options there which, again, should bring business to, you know, to CIE.
I think you're right, and that's something that will be discussed in more detail with Elizabeth, but I think you're right. There's a market there for that. It's small. To organize it.
Yeah.
The way we have our tours now, the organization is very well tuned, very well tuned. And it's working quite well, but there's always opportunities. You know, we sometimes with the chairman and with Vivian, we have think tanks. You know, we're thinking everything. We're thinking everything outside the box, and we ask the executive all the time to come up with new ideas, and we discuss it, and we give our tuppence halfpenny worth in the old language.
Yes,
and then they go back and look at it again, and so it's quite interesting. The opportunities in this world nowadays, it's quite interesting, but there are going to be changes.
Yeah. You obviously, your core business has been for the last 85 years in getting people, removing the burden for those who come, taking over, you know, their entire holiday plans from whence they come. All they have to do is show up at the airport and the rest of it is done. Are there, when I throw, you know, questions from left field about markets or different aspects of it, whereas the market might be small, you still want to be branded, to be known as coach tour operators, you know, and even you could say that a CIE tour is really a luxury tour. I don't think that you have, you know, you're not going to have second-hand coaches for the, you know, for, as in fact, on some tours in some parts of the world where people, you know, see, you know, advertising for a very flashy tour, and then it works out not to be that way. One of the, I think, part of the reputation for CIE tours is you don't need to say CIE luxury coach tours. It's
the word luxury is understood in terms with of what we do. I mean, everything we do with quality. The coaches are of a high quality. The locations that we stay in are a high quality. The food that we ensure that you get for breakfast and dinner are all of a high quality. And we're all about trying to provide, you know, authentic experiences to a wide variety of customers, be they on coaches or be they on small tours or be they on chauffeur driven tours. So we have that great variety, but we do, it is a tour. It is moving from a destination to a destination around the around whatever part of the country you're most interested in. So you could do the southern part of the country on one trip, then, you know, come back and visit us again and do another part of the country. But you can rest assured that every time you come on a tour, it will be with impeccable service and exceptional quality.
First of all, I thank both of you for spending some time. This is a flying trip, as it generally is, to New York. But let us once again give you friends, after all of this, let's do something that we could quite easily skip over. How do you get information? CIETours.com. What's the telephone number, toll-free number? 1-800-CIE-TOUR. Let me break that down for you. 1-800-243-8687. We can actually save you the trouble of remembering any of that. Just log on to irishradio.com and we will connect you directly to CIE Tours International. Thank you to both of you indeed, and definitely to you, Vivian Jupp, who, as chairman, you've never forgotten where we are. I know that you've travelled, and you travel a lot around, but you show up, and we're delighted with that. And of course, my friend of old, Peter, you are indeed, I think that you have brought a tremendous, I think, a talent of your own and an understanding that you've earned along the way through, you know, through all of your experience in travel, in hotels, and again, just about every aspect of it. And you don't like somebody who's going to look like somebody who's going to quit anytime soon. You have a lot of mileage left in you. On a personal note, my brother Fenton, some 50 some odd years ago, as an apprentice accountant, wound up in Dundalk, and indeed got one of his first paychecks from, you know, from your uncle in Dundalk. I don't think it was that much. He was kind of we leave that alone. And then an older brother who died a couple of years ago, my brother Enda, was in Shannon, trained in the Shannon Hotel School. So there's a lot of, the one thing about the Irish, I think, that is international, is you'd never want to say anything about anybody because you wouldn't know who you could be offending. So it is much easier, much better, I think, to reflect on great friendships and lifetime friendships, and that's it. To both of you.
Thank you very much, Adrian. Thank you very much. It's always a pleasure to come and talk
Thank
to you.
Thank you, Adrian. I appreciate it. CIETours.com,
1-800-243-8667. You're listening to the Flannelly Show live from New York, broadcasting throughout the world on irishradio.com.